For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin. On October 8, 1862, a significant Civil War battle took place in the state of Kentucky. In fact, historians now believe the Battle of Perryville was more significant than many people thought in the past. As Dr. Jack Thacker, a military historian from WKU, tells us, Confederate Commander Braxton Bragg was hoping to pick up some sympathetic recruits in the Bluegrass State.
Bragg was hoping Kentucky, after being under the hard rule of the Union during this time, that when he moved into Kentucky that he would be able to recruit a huge number of soldiers and that Kentucky would come over to the South. It actually was a fairly shrewd move on Bragg's part. Grant is coming down the Mississippi. Buell is in Tennessee, and Bragg is unable to actually defend against him. He realizes he's going to have to do something. So he decides to leave part of his forces in Corinth. Then he shifts the rest of his troops via rail to Chattanooga, and then they're going to come up through East Tennessee into Kentucky. He's going to pick up E. Kirby Smith's forces, which are near Knoxville. They will march into Kentucky and liberate Kentucky. In fact, he's got wagon loads of 15,000 rifles to distribute to all these new soldiers that are coming in. Moves his troops to Chattanooga. They march north. And E. Kirby Smith moves off very, very rapidly. Within 14 days, he's gone from Knoxville all the way up to near Richmond, Kentucky, catches a Union force of 6,000 inexperienced soldiers completely by surprise, defeats them, and literally obliterates them. He also overruns the main camp near Lexington of the entire Union forces there. Buell is caught completely by surprise. His supply lines have already been damaged by raids by John Hunt Morgan and Nathan Bedford Forrest. He's got to shift his forces and move north as fast as he can to save Louisville. It's almost like a race between Bragg, Smith, and Buell to see who can get to Louisville first, because that's the main hub of the rail system that links the East all the way into Ohio and Indiana.
Dr. Glenn LaFantasy of the WKU Institute for Civil War Studies says Bragg was disappointed by the response he got from people in Kentucky even after winning the Battle of Munfordville.
By this time, those folks in Kentucky with Southern sympathies had either already joined up or made a decision that I'm not going to get myself into this war. So it was a forlorn hope on Bragg's part that they were going to. He expected 15 to 20,000 recruits, which is just deluded.
He didn't get any recruits in Munfordville at all.
No. He got 4,000 Union prisoners.
That's all he
is. Which is a drag on an invading army because you got to worry
and
about
supply.
Those. So a victory at Munfordville, a Union surrender there of a small garrison, but now you're going to deal with those prisoners.
And Bragg also ran into difficulty while trying to swear in a new Confederate governor for the state of Kentucky.
Bragg evidently thought, well, I can't raise troops. So what he does is he and E. Kirby Smith go to Frankfort and they inaugurate a new governor. And evidently in his mind, maybe we can start conscription in Kentucky. This is almost symbolic of the whole thing. In the midst of the inauguration celebration, Union artillery begins to bombard Frankfort,
yes,
and they have to make a hasty exit on October the 4th. Buell has decided to come back south against Bragg. What is the determining factor to Perryville, actually, is the weather. It was sort of like Kentucky in this last June. It was dry.
Horrible drought.
Yes.
And so water, or at least tradition says, it's the search for water that causes the Battle of Perryville. Both sides desperately needing to find some water source. There was one at Perryville, untainted. And so that's why the two armies would ultimately clash.
Dr. LaFantasy says a situation called acoustic shadow played a key role at Perryville.
Buell set up his headquarters 3 miles outside of Perryville. The nature of the terrain at the battlefield itself, now a state park, very nicely preserved. So he's 3 miles away, and the terrain is very rough ground. It's not good ground for fighting a battle. But what those deep cuts that one finds across the Perryville battlefield, what they contributed to was this phenomenon called acoustic shadow. So that 3 miles away from Perryville, Buell had no idea that a battle was taking place. He didn't learn about the battle until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The battle had started in the early morning hours. This is something that happened at other battles as well. People could be very close to a battlefield, not hear a thing, while 50 miles away, people could hear at least cannon blasts and all that sort of thing. But in this case, Perryville, it's Buell that suffers the effects of acoustic shadow because he doesn't know anything that's going on, and that a portion of his army is in a pretty desperate fight with the Confederates.
Dr. Jack Thacker says much of the fighting was marked by confusion.
This is one of the most confused battles of the Civil War. Buell marches down, and the Chaplain River comes across Perryville, and that's the water they want in. Buell takes a position on one side across the area, and Bragg has come up, but Bragg doesn't know all of Buell's army is there. So what he does is he stacks everything on his left and has Polk launch on the morning of the 8th and strikes the Union one side, and one of the divisions in the Union Army is a green division in which the commanders had given a speech a few days before, don't worry about getting killed, the odds are against you. Within minutes of the battle breaking, all three of the commanders that were talking to all of the troops are dead, and they panic. The Confederates push them back.
Dr. Thacker says acoustic shadow kept the Union commander from fully understanding the situation.
Buell is right next door. His army extends out across Bragg's flank, but he doesn't know the battle's going on because of acoustic shadow. Finally, a courier comes in about 4 o'clock and tells him. Bragg, meanwhile, has no idea Buell's even there. And finally, that afternoon, when Buell starts stirring himself, Bragg realizes what the situation is, and it's too late for Buell to attack that night, especially with the half-trained troops he's got, so he's going to do it the next morning. And by the time he gets ready to attack the next morning, Bragg has wisely retreated back. He will rejoin E. Kirby Smith and come back down to Bowling Green and then back into Tennessee.
So a tactical victory for the Confederates, but a strategic defeat.
There were about 7,600 soldiers killed at the Battle of Perryville. In the past, it hasn't been considered a major battle by many historians, but Dr. Glenn LaFantasy says that situation is changing somewhat.
What historians see now is the fact that Perryville occurred very close in time to Antietam. In Antietam is September 17th. Perryville is October 8th. This was part of a strategy on the part of the Confederacy to bring the war to northern soil. Kentucky originally neutral, but by this time pretty firmly in the Union. Lee's invasion of Maryland, Maryland a slave state like Kentucky, but never left the Union, never seceded. So in that respect, Perryville gains importance and significance.
This has been the latest in our series of reports on the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin.